Year, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another, or should I say, glorious episode of
Knicks Anonymous, episode 106.
Episode 106, baby. And
the Knicks are back.
Oh my god, Stevie, finally, it's preseason.
Yeah, basketball, it's official. It's official. Basketball has been played. Basketball has been won. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. As always, we are the people's voice.
And we are nothing without the people.
The beautiful people. Stevie, tell the beautiful people the socials.
Follow us on Instagram at Knicks Anonymous. Follow us on Twitter at Knicks Anonymous as well, spelled with a Z instead of an S. Follow us on TikTok at Knicks Anonymous. You can also find us on platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, and Breaker. You can check out our website at KnicksAnonymous.com, or you can simply Google us.
Thank you for that. And if that was not enough for you, ladies and gentlemen, kind template down below has all the socials that you need. And if that is not enough for you, it is down in the description below. And while you're down there, you already know what to do. Hit that subscribe button, like button. Most importantly, the comments. Honestly, the comments. Very important. You just can't get enough of Knicks. And you guys, we love you guys. You know, we are the people's voice, and we are nothing without
the people.
The people. Exactly. So, preseason is among us. Game one. We come out victorious.
Final score, Knicks 114, Celtics 107. I just throw it out there. None of the starting five from the Celtics played. It was mostly their second unit and third stringers and unrestricted free agents and all that stuff. Either way, still, I can't lie. I didn't like the fact we didn't blow them out. I complained about that the whole game while we were watching it.
True.
We should have thrashed them. The score should have been like 130 to 107. That's just me, you know. But it is the preseason, so it is now the time to get the kinks out. Not that we saw any kinks, you know, because we actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, we didn't look too bad. I mean, you also got to take in consideration our top guns really didn't play either. Like that, Jalen Brunson played 5 minutes, RJ played 15, and Randle played 12. You know, those are definitely not going to be their minutes going into the, you know, the regular season. So it was pretty much our bench versus their bench, you know, for the pretty much the whole game, honestly. But nonetheless, look, basketball is basketball, bro. You got to play who's on the court. And, you know, I saw a lot of good things and unfortunately a couple of things to work on. But that's normal. And that's what we're going to talk about. So
yeah, not for nothing. I didn't really see anything bad as far as. Did you see anything negative that like stuck out in all honesty? You know, aside from turnovers,
not overall, you know? But like maybe from individual players, some players had some things I wanted them to work on.
You got to refresh my memory because I don't recall honestly speaking.
Of course, bro. I got you.
Well, actually, no, there was one thing, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about the main core because they, you know, we already know what we're going to get from them, and we'll talk about them a little bit more next episode. I wanted to really just focus on the people that played the most, which were like the people that were, you know, new people like DiVincenzo and, you know, Sims playing the four. And so what I do want to shout out, though, before we get started is the fact that RJ Barrett and Julius Randle went 100%. For free throws. What was it, Stevie? Was it combined
13 for 13. I think Barrett was 9 for 9 and Randle was 4 for 4, but let me check that to be sure. Yep, I was absolutely right.
And yes, you were absolutely correct.
Dude, I love that. I know you said that we're not going to talk about them, but I love that Jalen Brunson scored 10 points in the span of 5 minutes. It means he's ready to go.
Oh, no, listen, bro. This is why I didn't really want to talk about, because they're ready, bro. We already.
That's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, no.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Dude. That's all I'm going to say. It looks like he's ready to go.
I agree.
I'll keep it short. As far as he goes, I'll keep it short. It looks like he's ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. Could not agree more, Stevie. So, first player I want to talk about think everybody's favorite at the moment is Emmanuel Quickly. So, Stevie, what was one thing from Emmanuel Quickly that you liked the most about yesterday?
I like that he picked it up after a slow start because he wasn't looking too good at the beginning. But because he looked kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, when he came in, he didn't look too into it.
Yeah, like getting like the butterflies, you know, getting the jitters out, you know, warming up.
Yeah, basically. And after a while, he just started looking like the IQ from last year when he was in top form. He was hitting his basket. He was hitting his buckets. He was playing defense. Made a few good passes. Played deep. I said play defense already. I was gonna say it twice. But yeah, he looked absolutely good, man. I can't complain about his performance yesterday. He was on. I just want to see his field goals real quick. 8 of 14, 3 of 5 from free throws, 2 of 5 from 2 of 5 from three. I'm sorry, doing good. Can't complain, bro. He keeps that up. This time he shouldn't get robbed for sixth man of the year.
Dude, I mean, I didn't even realize he scored 21 points. Remember?
Same here. That's what I'm saying. It looked shaky at first. That's why I was shocked he had 21. I was like, really? Damn, he must have picked it up crazy because it didn't seem like he had 21. You know, maybe he was just like, he was silent killing. He was a ninja yesterday.
The most impressive thing to me about his stat line was his 3 steals. I think that really stood out to me because that means he's improving on the defensive end of things. So that was one of my pros with Emmanuel Quickly. But I have one problem, because the other problem is really pretty much everybody's problem. But
his turnovers?
No, that's everybody's problem. His problem is his shot selection. He went 40%, which is good. But if Emmanuel Quickly takes one...
Actually, he was 57%. He did pretty good yesterday.
No, from the field. I'm talking about threes.
Oh, from the threes? 40% is great.
No, 40% is good.
But
Emmanuel Quickly could be better than that. That's the thing. I feel like he is stunting his growth due to his shot selection. If he makes one shot that he took contested, if he would have just waited for another opportunity, he hits that and probably goes 43%, 44%. You know what I mean? So, okay. You know, it's good. He is good, but I'm saying he could, if he just tightens up on his shot selection from three, when to shoot it, you know, because sometimes he goes down the court, gets excited, and he lets it fly. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying not to shoot it, but let's just think about it for a second. You know, are you in rhythm? Are you know, what's going on with the game? It's the first game back in preseason. You know what I mean? I don't think you want to be shooting those shots yet, but that's my main problem with him. If he just one more smart shot quickly, and he'll be 44 or 43% from three, which is amazing. 40% is great, but you could be better.
I'd be happy with him at 40%, personally speaking. At 40%, he'd be our leading 3-point shooter percentage wise. Should that happen, you know? Because
no, I'm 100% content with you on that one. I'm just saying, just one more smart shot, and he could be from possible six man to six man. You know what I mean?
No, that's a fact. That's a fact.
So that's a fact. Shout out to Quickly on that one. Next up, I want to talk about Mr. Sims. So, I'm going to take the lead on this one. I can't talk. I'm too excited. So, yesterday we got to see Project Sims, pretty much. We finally get to see what Sims looks like at the four. He looked great. You know, he looked in shape. He looked good. He looked ready. He looked, you know, healthy. His defense is pretty good. I do think, though, him playing the four with another non-shooting center, it's going to be horrible for us.
Agreed.
Horrible.
Agreed. I could agree with that. I saw why.
His main issue is that he's not a power forward, bro. His skill set doesn't scream power forward. He can't dribble. He can't shoot. That's all power forward stuff. He's not very good spatial awareness. Sometimes he gets caught in the middle of certain plays. You know, he's just not a good he's not a four. You know what I mean? So, it could work. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think the four man Sims is gonna work. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not a fan of it. It's just.
I disagree. I actually disagree.
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna just cap it off.
No. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna just cap this off. So, Sims needs to be. I'm done. Honestly, Sims just he needs to stay five, bro. He can't be four in my opinion, because if you know, like I said, if he stays four and you put another, you know, if you put Mitchell Robinson or Hartenstein in there, the Knicks are already an okay 3-point shooting team. Now you only leave it to three. It's gonna be really easy to guard us. We're gonna see that zone again if we put Sims back in the game or back in that four position. So I think we need an actual four. But can Sims hold it down for the time being? Yes. Yes, he can. He could do it. But I think we'll run into more problems than solutions with Sims at the four.
I kind of disagree. The possibility is there. Yeah, we'll run into problems, but I think that'll be mostly because of him adjusting. Yeah, I can see why it would be an issue. I saw in the game yesterday there was kind of issues with the spacing when he was playing with when he was playing with the other sensors. But it didn't look as disastrous as you made it seem. Not to say you said it looked disastrous. I'm not saying you said that. But it didn't look too concerning to me. It kind of looks like things that could, you know, be fixed with a couple of regular season games and some preseason practices. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he did pretty well, dude. My only problem is he only took one shot. I want him to be more aggressive offensively. He only took one shot and he was 0 for 1. He had 7 rebounds and 3 assists. So he did good. He did a decent job passing the ball. You know what I mean? He did his rebound everything like he always does. Like you said, he did what he does, but
here's the thing though. He needs to do more at that four.
Oh, agreed. That's what I'm saying. I want him to take more shots. I want him to be more aggressive. He doesn't have to be too aggressive on the defensive end. He's already naturally good at that, so he'll be fine there. But my only concern is him offensively. He just has to be a little more aggressive because he seems to be like I won't say he's a liability because he can like. Not gonna say he's a scorer, but I would say he has more scoring ability than Hardenstein or about even with Mitch maybe. But just be more aggressive is what I'm trying to say. Be more aggressive. As far as the spacing goes, I can see that concern. That could be a concern. I agree with that.
He did take one jump shot. So I guess, you know. But at the same time, bro, you got to also understand who he was playing against. You got to put that in perspective. I know he said, you know, you play whoever you play, but.
You said that, actually.
No, I know. But you got to put it in perspective for a second. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You know, I'm down for it, but
you gotta realize with him, it's gonna be growing pains because like he's used to being a setter, so him playing the four position, you know, there's gonna be some problems. There'll be some issues in the beginning, but he's also gonna make plays.
No, you know, and
he's gonna make plays, and not for nothing. I don't think he'll be majority minutes. Power forward. I think he'll get minutes at center as well. Cause you know what I mean? Like the way I see it, the Knicks could do this. And this is just me trying to play Tibbs, which means I'm trying to do his rotations. If I'm Tibbs personally, when you bring Jericho Sims off the bench, to substitute for Randle. If the center is the next substitution, you move him to center and you play small ball. You bring Josh Hart at the four. Because I think he'd be good in the small ball lineup. What do you think about that?
I'm not really a big fan of the small ball. You know, I still think the Knicks need height, in my opinion. But it could. I mean, Josh Hart does, you know, he is one of the leading rebounders at his position. So, I mean, it could work. Do I think it's reliable? No, I don't feel like it is. But it could.
Well, I mean, it would be situational. It's not something we would go to. It wouldn't be a go-to thing. It'd be situational. You know what I mean? Like if we play guys like, for example, the Golden State Warriors, because they're going to be playing small ball. They have no choice, especially with the roster they got now.
Yeah.
So we would have to, you know, do it that way. Or when we play against the Hawks, because we're going to have to chase Trae Young around. So we're going to need as much speed as possible. So we're going to have to do small ball.
No, that is true. Like when Jericho Sims is coming off those switches, same with Mitchell Robinson, they both can guard guards. So on defense, they're both, you know, not, they're definitely not a liability on defense. But then again, bro, the name of the game is to get buckets. So, you know, it's kind of like a trade-off. So they just got to figure it out. If they could find a way to snap the trade-off, like, and just not even a lot, just enough to where he's getting buckets and opening up the floor, then it'll work. But if they can't break that, it's just going to be yin and yang. It's going to be just, you know, we're going to have to prey on our defense, which, you know, is, you know, cool. But again, we're going to need some efficient offense. But
I understand that.
Could it work? 100%. You know, if he could definitely find a rhythm and, you know, and I hope he does. I mean, you know, I hope he succeeds. I just have my worries.
That's understood.
Yeah. So,
I just think it'll take time for him to adjust to that role. Now, if he doesn't adjust to that role, then you start making that backup power forward addition. You start looking at the waiver wire, or you start looking at trades for like a backup or something like that. That's when you do that. If that doesn't work after
How long would you give it?
I would give it 25 games. See how it goes. Because you know what I mean? Like, look at it this way. Like, even if it is a detriment to the team, I don't think it would be that much of a detriment that it would turn us to a losing team. You know what I mean? Like, after 25 games, I think we'll still have a winning record regardless with Jericho Sims running the bag of power forward. Could there be potential games where we lose because of that? Yeah, absolutely, because that's part of the growing pains of that process. We may lose a game or two because of that, but it doesn't mean we're going to have a losing record. I still predict we're going to be up there.
Very true. He is speaking facts. So let's move on to the big body Mitch.
I'm excited to talk about him. Because he's my breakout player this year. Everybody had a breakout player. I picked Mitch.
Yes, Mitch. Take it away, Stevie. Go ahead. This is your man.
Bro, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 blocks. What can I say, bro? And in 23 minutes of play, he's definitely going to get more than 23 minutes. So he's going to get more rebounds than that. You got to up his assist, though. 0 assist ain't cool. You got to give me 1 or 2, Mitch. Come on. But he looked like the anchor I expect him to be. Again, I predict his stat line this season to be 9-12 and 2 or 3 blocks. I predict he should make an all-defensive team, but that's just me. I don't know about everybody else. But he looked great. He looked like exactly what I expect him to be. So he keeps this up. I can only see him getting better as the season goes on.
Hey, listen. There, like me personally, when I played basketball, I didn't really have offense like that. My defense played into my offense, so I would get steals and easy points to get points. You know what I mean? That's exactly what Mitchell Robinson's game is, I feel like, is going to turn out to be, because the steals and blocks that he got led into points. Like, there was a block that he did that got from the three-point line, boom, swatted that, got it, fast break, dunk. You know what I mean? Steal, same thing. So it's good. It's good for him. You know, he's starting to find ways to use his strengths to his advantages. And the fact that he's able to, like, switch off of guards and just be able to pretty much guard everybody. You know, obviously he's not going to be the greatest at guarding the guards, but there's not many people that could stay with, you know, a Trae Young or something like that. You know what I mean? So, got to give Robinson that. I still do wish he had some type of offense. I do wish it. But
drop 10 points. I'm just saying.
No. But that's his
saying.
No,
he dropped 10 points. No. I mean, I do too. I wish that too, but he dropped 10 points.
No. But I'm gonna shout out to this too. So the Knicks are doing a lot more high pick and rolls between Robinson and the guards.
They're starting to do it way
more, like more. I don't know if they were doing it back then. I really don't.
I peeped that. But I peeped that.
They're doing it more often now, and it's working, especially with Jalen Brunson, because you have to step up on that. Because if you don't, Jalen Brunson's going to make you pay, my friend. Stay with Emmanuel quickly. You got to guard up on that. If you're not, he's going to knock it down. Quentin Grimes, he's going to knock it down. So that pick and roll, like how Trae Young used it against us with him and Capella, it's going to be the same way between Mitch and pretty much every guard on our team. Even down to Dante DiVincenzo. So, you know, his pick and roll is going to be universal. I'm going to call it the universal pick and roll. He has the universal pick and roll. And another thing they're using Robinson for is they're doing a lot of backdoor screens for the shooters. Either be Grimes, Quickly, and DiVincenzo. Basically, what they do is just they'll have Grimes or someone cut through to the middle, go around. They'll set the screen here. He'll go around the screen, catch, shoot. You know what I mean? And no coincidence that Quentin Grimes was training with J.J. Redick and they implemented shooting around screens. That's like the J.J. Redick special. That's the, you know what I mean? Like, that's J.J. Redick's superpowers, catch, shoot over screens. So, and Quentin Grimes didn't do too bad, which we'll get to in a minute. But I like Robinson. He's good. Robinson is good. And shout out to Wally. And yo, shout out to Mike. Shout out to MSG. Shout out to the MSG broadcasters, man. We getting Mark Jackson. What's up? Shout out.
Yeah, that's great. I love to hear that. And Van Gundy too, I think, right? Isn't Van Gundy coming back as well?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not sure about the Van Gundy thing, but I am positive.
I gotta check that out. I think he is. I could be wrong, but I think he is. And not for nothing, back to Mitch. Was it just me? Or does he look a little more stocky than last year?
No, that's a fact. That's what I was going to get into. Wally deadass said that Mitch was looking a little bit more brolic, especially in his legs. So, dude, everyone's glowed up. I'm not going to lie. When I looked across the court, I saw a lot of glow-ups. A lot of guys, Ironheart looking a little skinny. Julius Randle looking good. Quickly looking brolic. Mitch Robinson looking brolic. Everybody looking brolic. Everybody chilling. So, all right. Speaking of iHeart.
Yeah, look. It says Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson from 2 weeks ago. Bleacher Report reported Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson reportedly candidates to call Knicks bowl games on MSG.
Yo.
So you might get Van Gundy back.
Dude, that's awesome. That's amazing. That's amazing. Sweet. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Van Gundy is the one that called the game with Mike Breen when Melo hit the three against the Bulls.
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I know he was the coach of the Knicks. You do know he was the coach of the Knicks, right?
I do know he was the coach of the Knicks.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Tibbs was under him. Was he not?
Yes, as an assistant.
Mm-hmm. There we go. So, speaking of iHeart, first off, I want to mention his physique. He is no longer as, how do you say, husky?
He looks slim.
You say husky?
Right.
No, he actually looks slim to me. That jersey looks kind of tight on
him. No, I'm saying he was husky. Like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say fat, because he wasn't fat, but, you know, he wasn't, I don't know. He looked skinny. He was slim. He was skinnier. And
that's pretty good too.
That says a lot about the play style of like what you're gonna do, because that means you're gonna be a little bit more agile. You're gonna be shooting more possibly, and that's exactly what was happening. They're using iHeart on the high, the foul line extended, and he would just catch the ball on top of the free throw line, turn around, and do his like nice little. He's Iverson. He's Iverson reincarnated. I'm dragging it. So, and from the free throw line, he just operates. He has options. He can either do his floater, go to the basket, or pass, which I think is an amazing way to use iHeart. I think it's exactly what he's needs to be used for.
Agreed.
Couldn't have said it better myself, honestly. That's why I'm a little speechless.
The only thing I just don't like is the four turnovers. That shit is wild.
It happens, though. Like, I put that on the preseason. Because Ihart's a pretty smart player, so I don't expect that to be a habit.
No, I agree, but that's wild. Especially the way it happened. I remember one, he was trying to dribble past defenders. I was like, Ihart, what are you doing?
Right, the preseason, bro. He's trying to put it out there. Way I see it. It's just time to do it now. Now's the time to do it.
I can respect that. I can.
You know what I mean? Now's the time to do it. Don't do that in the regular season.
I can definitely respect that.
Okay. Next on the list.
Dante DiVincenzo.
Stevie, what was
one thing you liked from Dante DiVincenzo?
Same thing as Grimes. He started slow, also picked it up after a while. He was only 2 of 8 overall from the field, but ended up 2 of 5 from three. So provided what we expected, you know what I mean? He did a little bit of everything. 8 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Defense was decent. He needs to pick that up a little bit. But overall, like, yeah, I can't complain. He did what I expected. And honestly speaking, off the bench, averaging, because he had 8 3 and 2. If he could average 10 3 and 2 or 10 3 and 3 off the bench, pretty good. I would take that. You know what I mean? At 40% three.
That's not bad.
Wouldn't mind that.
You're just adding to the productivity. Because right now you got to build the Lego set. You know what I mean? You can't build the Lego set without the other Lego pieces. You feel me? So Dante DiVincenzo is going to fill that piece, I think, pretty good. But as expected, what I saw was it's gonna take him time to gel with the offense, because there was a lot of times I saw him miss cut. Like, there was times that quickly would come around one side, and he quickly would force him, like tell him to, like, yo, you gotta move, meaning he was supposed to move before he got there. So there's little cuts and, you know, little rotations that he's getting used to. So that's the only thing I saw from yesterday, and that's 100% to be expected because he is a new cat in town. But overall, in terms of his efficiency, he did pretty good. It's just, you know, he couldn't find a rhythm really on offense. Maybe a little shaky. He was passing up a lot of good opportunities, but, you know, I don't think he wants to step on anybody's toes right now. I think he's trying to just feel himself out, you know. So overall, Dante looked pretty good, you know, even though he was struggling, like you said, 8 points, you know, only a minus. Oh, he was a minus. Okay, never mind. But
I think that's mostly because of his shooting numbers, because he was 2 of 8, as I said, overall.
Yeah, good save, good save. I like that. 8 3 and 3. You know, pretty good. On a good night, we'll probably get 12. You said 10, I'll probably say 12.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
So, yeah, gotta give it to Dante. And then last on my list, Mr. Quentin Grimes.
Wanna start?
Yeah, I'm gonna start. Cause I'm a little disappointed. Not like crazy disappointed, just a little bit. I did expect a stronger start. Like, to really get, you know, to really be in rhythm. He did start to find it in, you know, as the game went on from three. But he was starting to really struggle, kind of forcing up shots in the paint, trying to really figure out his shot a little bit. So that was kind of just a turnoff for me a little bit. But I know that's not, like you said, for Ihart, with the turnovers, that's not a habit of Quentin Grimes. He's just, you know, coming back from his injury and, you know, just getting back in the starter thing. But again, preseason, I don't want to get over too emotional. Knicks fans are very passionate, even if it is a preseason game. It's like the championship. But 40% from three, pretty good. 6 points, though, could have been better in the time that he was given.
I could agree with you for the most part. I'm not as disappointed in you because he did do a little bit of everything. He had 3 boards and 4 assists to go with that, and a steal. So he did contribute in the small sample time he had. He had 22 minutes. So, you know, with more time, I could only assume those numbers go up. So I'm not too concerned with him as well. Same thing with the turnovers, like you said, that's not a habit of his. So, you know, I'm not worried. From what I get out of all this, everybody's going to be ready come regular season. I guarantee you the next time we play the Celtics in the preseason, because we are going to play them again and then open the season against them. They're probably going to start their guys, and we're going to see how things really are. So this game is just warm up. I wouldn't really take what we saw in today's game too seriously, you know what I mean? And there's some good and bad to take out of it. Don't get it twisted, but, like, you know, we're going to find things out as time goes by, you know what I mean? As far as Grimes goes, again, I'm not too concerned about it. I'm not as disappointed as you were. He'll be fine. But again, another one. He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to be more aggressive on the offensive end. You know, not to the point that he takes bad shots, to be a little more aggressive. But to sum things up, in my end, everybody looks good. The people who are going to have to adjust the most is basically DiVincenzo because he's new, and Jericho Sims because he's playing a new role.
That's correct. That pretty much sums up the entire thing. And thank you for bringing up the four assists, because I have it in my notes. I just, for some reason, skipped over it.
All good. Like I said, bro. Again, he didn't look exciting. That's probably why you said you were disappointed. Like, he didn't look too exciting, but
what I do, like I said, with
looked efficient, I'll say that.
Like I said with Mitchell Robinson, I do like that they're trying new things with Grimes. They're bringing him around screens. You know, they're doing different things than just him being on ball offensive threat. Now he's becoming an off-ball offensive threat, which is great because it opens up your game, and it opens up everybody else's game, really. So if he, you know, which I think he will find his stride, you know, playing like that, that's big for us because we need three-point shooting. I mean, we struggled from the three-point line yesterday. So, you know, if everybody gets their stride. But I know who really was getting their stride, Stevie.
Who's that?
Huh?
Who's that?
I'm glad you asked, Stevie. Don't say that.
I didn't say anything. I was wondering who he was talking about. I just figured it out.
Let it simmer. I'm talking about Mr. Evan Fournier.
Yeah, that dude was playing for his life. It looked like.
Dun, dun, dun. We had an Evan Fournier sighting, and boy, did Evan Fournier took full advantage of the situation.
He did okay. He dropped 11 points, 3 boards, an assist, and a steal.
But again, as always, I'm not going to say he got waxed, but his defense.
Guarantee, as I always say, bro, for every 2 threes he hits, he gives up 3. It's the same thing. It's not exactly what happened, but something along those lines.
Dude, you remember when they made the sub at the beginning of the game? We were up like 22 to like 10, and then they put Fournier in and they went on like a 10-0 run.
Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed. Like, as soon as they put him in, they went on the run. I'm not saying it's totally his fault, but, you know, coincidence? I think not. I'm just saying.
I think not. You know, and again, it is what it is, man. You're good offense. You're fine. You could produce. We know that. It's just the defensive side of things. We have a lot more guys that can produce that. So, like Stevie, you want to tell what you said about it? Or you want to keep?
Bro, bye. This is just a showcase of the trade. We might even give a minute to the beginning of the season, like a couple of games, bro. Because let's be real, like, he could have dropped 80 or 90 yesterday. Wouldn't have made a difference, bro. If anything, that would have just upped his trade value. So, him going hard helps. I'm just being real.
Bro, yesterday you had me weak, bro. Man's really sad. Dude, if he scores 80 right now, it still wouldn't matter. Tibbs would be like, the bench right there.
Yeah,
great.
You're gonna get minutes, but you're not gonna get you get like 2 threes, and if you miss, you know, sit down, that's it. Oh boy, you know, I don't know what to say about that, but he did good though.
He did good. Listen,
he did good.
Bro,
he
listen
good.
The harder you go, Evan, the better we, you know, the better you are. So, you know, you do what you gotta do,
better it is for you. Yeah, you get out of here like you want.
Look, it, you wanted the chance. Tibbs giving you the chance, my friend. Take it. Take it while you can. Overall, though, like Stevie said, everyone looks pretty good. Everyone looks ready to go. It's just there's certain things, or not even, there's two specific things that has to happen. That's between Dante and Jericho in terms of what they have to do with the team. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I do see improvement in everybody's game. Everyone's trying something new. Or if they're not trying something new, they have improved on what they already knew. So that's good. That's very good. I didn't see 1 ounce of digression at all. So
I myself neither.
Yeah. So overall, good start. We're 1-0. I'm hoping to finish this preseason. Preseason undefeated. I want to make a statement.
Next game is Saturday versus the Timberwolves. Should be a fun one.
What do you think about that one, Dub?
Oh, yeah. I don't see why not. You know, I can't lie, though. Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards is going to be a problem to deal with.
It's going to be fun to see. We'll find out. Listen, they got to figure it out. You want to be the best, got to beat the best, my friend.
They're not the best.
if you're in the NBA, you're the best players in the world, so I guess. Debatable, but that's the title. According to society, they're the best players in the world. I couldn't
really agree to
all of that, just because there's a lot of people in there that should not have made it.
That's a whole different discussion, but I feel you.
Yeah,
you already know what I'm thinking about, Stevie. You already know. Ain't played with the Knicks, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Comment if you know what I'm talking about down below. That's if you're a real Knicks Anonymous fan. I'll give you a hint. His last name starts with a P. No. Oh, no. It starts with an E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That man should not have made it. That's besides the point. Getting in my bag, Stevie. Let's end this.
All right, bet.
Shout out to Knicks Anonymous family, as always. Episode 106 in the books. Preseason game one in the books. Come out victorious. Start out 1-0. Get the Timberwolves Saturday. And our next game after that is...
Oh, hold up. I'll tell you right now. Next game after that is the Celtics on Tuesday.
Tuesday. So we'll probably drop an episode Monday, maybe. Right? Describing the Wolves. I guess we'll do that.
Most likely, yeah.
We'll do that. And you already know, follow us on all social medias down below. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. I'm LJ.
Stevie in the building.
We are Knicks Anonymous. We are the people's voice.
Nothing without the people.
You. The beautiful people.
Peace.